The first person I called was Don Kluding, captain of Sitka's Mountain Rescue Team. Kluding recently had issued Sitka's first ever backcountry avalanche warning. Slides happen all the time up in the mountain bowls around Sitka, but lately just the hike up Blue Lake Road to our reservoir has started to look like Donner Pass. Kluding says that with this much new snow and the additional threat of wind-loaded snow, you should be vigilant in the vicinity of any substantial slope.
You know, I was out on Saturday on Gavin Hill and, you know, taking a look at the snowpack, and we have a large amount of snow on the mountains right now, and it's relatively newly deposited there, and it really hasn't had a chance to settle, and there are some weak layers under there that, you know, could contribute to instability.
Does a place like Blue Lake Road and those avalanche chutes, when we see a big slide come down there across the road, does it tip you off that the snowpack is not particularly stable?
Actually, that's one of the warning signs. When you're out, you know, you should constantly be looking at the snowpack and, you know, trying to determine if it's instable or unstable or not. And one of the signs is if you see active avalanche activity on adjacent slopes, and that is a clue that you should take notice of. And basically where we're seeing avalanches happen are, you know, slope angles anywhere from 30 to 45 degrees in slope angle. 38 degrees is kind of the bullseye where the majority of them take place. Anything above 45 degrees, typically what happens is the snow is deposited in those, you know, steeper areas. It continually sloughs off. But with the heavy snowfall that we've had recently, we're getting some pretty major sloughs from that steeper terrain as well. You know, there's quite a bit of snow that's come down.
Kluding told me that Sitkans overall do not have much avalanche awareness or training. To remedy that, his team will loan out and train you how to use an avalanche transceiver, probe, and shovel. Kluding says most people caught in avalanches die within 30 minutes, so it's critical that you have the equipment to both be found and to find others very quickly. Even if you're not one of those hardy types who head for the hills in winter, you still may have to deal with snow hazards. The first structural collapse in Sitka was reported to the building department on Friday. Granted, the carport was under-designed, with 2x4 rafters spanning 18 feet. Still, building official Preston O'Connell says that while most residents have nothing to worry about, the combination of additional snow plus the inevitable rain will jeopardize many structures in town.
In Sitka, our design snow load is 50 pounds a square foot, and that's expressed as a ground snow load. So we'll figure every square, if a flat roof without any wind action, should be designed to carry 50 pounds additional load on every square foot, and the snow loads are reduced somewhat as the pitch of the roof gets steeper. But there are quite a few structures in town, I think, that were built without paying much attention to the building code. And when you consider that snow, depending on its water content, will weigh anywhere from 10 to 15 pounds, let's say, a cubic foot. If you get a couple feet of snow, then you're talking about maybe 30 pounds on the roof. The real danger, Rob, is that that snow will act like a sponge, and it'll rain, and then it'll freeze, and then that's when we see collapses. And Wanigan's sheds, older mobile homes, flat roofs, all that kind of thing are at risk. And the other thing that will often happen is we'll get a rain, and then it'll freeze hard, so people should be aware that whatever configuration their snow is in, when that freeze comes, if it does, they're going to have to live with it for a while. So if you're uncertain about your roof, it's generally worthwhile to go up and try to get some of the snow at least off of it.
O'Connell says that even if you're not about to venture out onto a roof to remove snow, anything that you can do from the ground will help. He says he's seen people using long rakes to clear their eaves and even the extra-long dip nets that we use at Readout Lake in summer. And while you're out working on your roof, you may notice that you're not alone. The usual ravens have gathered around some of the neighborhood trash cans and even a bald eagle or two. Vicki Vosburgh is the avian veterinarian at the Alaska Raptor Rehabilitation Center in Sitka. She says that to date this year, 32 bald eagles have been admitted to her facility. In 1997, the record year for eagle admissions with 86, only 9 had been admitted by this date. Southeast's eagles are clearly having some problems.
In many years past, we only see birds that had an injury, and this year we are seeing birds that I can't find anything wrong with them other than they're starving. They maybe found some food and gorged themselves, and because they're weak, they couldn't take off, and we were able to pick them up. The way we look at it is if we can catch an eagle, it needs to be caught.
Is there a correlation between tough weather like we're having and the amount of admissions into the Raptor Center, or is there something unusual going on this year?
I do think this is associated not only with tough weather, but 2 years of tough weather. I was talking to some biologists, and they have noted that deer populations are down, marten populations are down. These are animals that are going to be providing food in the winter for bald eagles. They're getting kind of desperate right now. Birds that are healthy are really, really hungry. We're getting birds in that they aren't starving to death, but they've done something really stupid. Well, we went and picked up a bird. It was in a Rubbermaid tote in the back of someone's pickup, eating a frozen turkey. And there were five of us standing within a couple feet of this bird. It did not pay us any mind. It just kept right on eating. And surprisingly, this bird wasn't that thin, but he was hungry enough that eating was more important than getting away from us.
The turkey-tote eagle was among the lucky. Vosburgh says that he'll be released along with the Raptor Center's other winter rescues during the herring spawn in March. 16 of the 32 birds collected by the center this year were dead on arrival. Several others died shortly after admission. Their bodies were shipped to a facility that distributes eagle feathers to Native American organizations for cultural purposes. Vosburgh is cautious about advising residents to feed eagles. Anyone doing so should look for a quiet area away from traffic or power lines. While the Bald and Golden Eagle Protection Act and the Migratory Bird Treaty Act do not specifically prohibit feeding eagles, anyone doing so in a manner that leads to the injury or death of an eagle could be subject to penalty. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.